Steve stopped by after dinner. Tony had been tempted not to open the door, but he knew Steve would be worried, and putting him off would only make him more worried. It wasn't like they had to talk. Steve put up only a token protest before submitting to being dragged into the bedroom, where he let Tony ride him, muttering soft encouragement as Tony writhed and panted and whimpered. Afterwards, he straddled Steve again, sat on his hips, and stared down at him. He looked back, eyelids drooping slightly, smiling. Lovely, lovable, wonderful Steve. Almost a fair consolation prize for being trapped in the wrong body. "Do you ever feel like you don't belong?" said Tony abruptly, and Steve raised his eyebrows. "Well, yeah," he grinned, and Tony laughed awkwardly. In your own skin, like the super soldier serum. You changed, right? Your body." He laid his palm on Steve's belly, feeling the firm curves of muscle, and Steve made a soft noise of pleasure. "Yeah, a couple inches taller. My shoulders got broader. That really hurt. I remember that best. I thought my neck was breaking. And more flesh everywhere. I was skinny before. Could never put on muscle. Always sick. Even my face looked different. Not really different, but how did it feel?" "Well, it hurt." "Afterwards. How did you feel about being different? It was strange, right?" He watched the puzzlement flick over Steve's face as he tried to decipher Tony's meaning. "Yeah, it was. Every time I looked in the mirror, looking for something familiar. It took me a while to get used to it, to realize it was me." "But it is you," he said, and Steve frowned. "Well, yeah." "You never wanted your old body back?" He dropped his eyes to his hands, the slim, scarred hands resting on Steve's hard muscles. "It was what I wanted. It was going to get me what I wanted." Steve shrugged. "I put up a fight to get the chance for this, and it was... I don't really talk about it much, but it hurt. I thought I was dying. I didn't find out until afterwards that other people had died. It was a terrible gamble. Unethical, they'd call the experiments. But I wanted it. I didn't look back. Not then." "Later?" Tony said, and Steve shrugged again. "Later. Of all the things I lost, one skinny, unhealthy body was pretty low on the list. I miss the days when I was a kid, an art student. I didn't miss being sick all the time." He drummed his fingers idly on Tony's thigh, and then shook his head. "No, I don't think I've ever regretted the body." Tony sighed and settled himself down, fitting himself into the curve of Steve's body, tasting soft, salty skin against his mouth, trying to think of something other than the way his breast squished almost uncomfortably against Steve's side. "Tony, you were in your armor when Jan was kidnapped." "Yes." Tony tensed. "Jan's a tall, pretty girl with dark hair, like you." "I look nothing like Jan." A useless protest. Steve had clearly gotten a clue. "No, but I don't think robots are great at likenesses. Iron Man, Morgan, Jan. It's you they're after. Doom knows you're Iron Man, doesn't he?" Tony could lie some more, of course, but Steve was unlikely to believe him. "Yeah. And Jan was a mistake?" "I think so." "And that time at the zoo?" "I guess." Steve sat up, pulling Tony with him, and he took Tony's chin and looked him in the eye. Doom is trying to kidnap you, and he almost managed it last night. Steve's steady gaze was hard to meet. Tony looked away. I'm telling you what I tell any member of the team when a supervillain is stalking you. You take proper precautions. He leaned into Tony's line of sight, determined, and Tony considered just shutting his eyes. No, that would be childish. You're not just endangering yourself. The rest of us have to come after you. Low blow. It was fair, though. If Jan had been taken instead, who knew what Doom would have done with the wrong captive? All right, all right. I'll arrange extra security, okay? Not that they'd been the slightest use so far, and by Steve's frown, he was thinking the same. Do you know why Doom's after you? He shrugged. It's hard to tell why Doom does the things he does. I've emailed Tony. Steve stared at him, and he stared back, raising his chin. You know why, said Steve. Why are you lying to me? Tony looked away and considered. Okay. He wants me to be Queen of Latveria. He wants to marry you? Yep. But you're my girlfriend! Steve's face was a picture. Tony choked back a laugh. Well, apparently Doom doesn't respect the guy code when, you know, kidnapping brides. No, it was too much. He started to giggle at the sheer absurdity of the situation, at Steve's indignant face. But, oh, quit making that face. Tony grinned up at him, and his mouth twitched unwillingly. At least it means I'm not in danger for my life or anything. Doom said the information of my body was overwritten, he said, and Reed looked up from his computer. Hi, Tony. Well, kind of. Reed was very hard to surprise, possibly because he had so few expectations. If Doom picked your new form deliberately, he must have made a huge investment of time and resources to find a suitable universe. I'm hoping to be able to cut down to scan universes for suitable bodies. A substitute for sex reassignment surgery is the obvious one, but it could also replace reconstructive surgery for those who've been injured. Reed. Tony was not in the mood to listen to ramble. If the data's been overwritten, how do you plan on changing it back? Well, overwritten is too simplistic a term. I think... He paused. Oh, he said, and turned to the computer. Oh, he said after a few minutes of tapping away. Oh, I see. See what? Poor Victor, said Reed. You know, he really is a genius, but he's so blinkered sometimes. He gets an idea in his head and sticks to it. What? Well, the way it's constructed, I found a lot of anomalies in the design of the robot's ray that I couldn't resolve. Victor thought he was importing the body, as if he were downloading the information from the other universe and wiping the information already here. But he wasn't? No, that's entirely the wrong way of looking at it. Reality stores data holographically, in a distributed form. All the Tony Starks that ever existed resonate within you and are encoded in your existence. In fact, all of reality is encoded in every atom of your being. But the closer you are to you, the angle the universe meets you at determines the manifestation of your form from the infinite forms encoded in you. So Doom's ray readjusted you, so the universe hits you at a different angle. So this form manifested. You just need to shift your angle back, and I've been trying to determine the correct angle, which is quite tricky. And a frown creased his brow. This is a little explored field of physics, you know.
But you can do it?
Oh, yes, said Reed and beamed at him. And Tony stared at him. His smile dimmed.
What?
When can you do it? How long?
Well, I was trying to work out the purpose of all those calibrations, but now I realize they're unnecessary. We just need the main...
How long, Reed?
It's done, Reed said simply. I can change you back whenever you like. Now, if you want.
You... Tony took a moment to understand.
You can?
Sure, just stand...
No,
he blurted, and Reed raised his eyebrows. I have... appointments. For this body. Identity. I can't just vanish. Give me a few days.
No problem.
Reed turned back to his computer. I'll be working with the machine for a while. It's really quite brilliant. I should write to Victor. So just let me know when you're ready.
Fuck, Tony. No one has problems like you, said Rhodey.
Yeah. He let his head flop down onto the desk. Shit, Rhodey. I make an awesome girl. I should just stay this way, right?
You are not staying a girl, man. You can't do it.
There was a pause.
Can you?
I don't know. I could for a while. The knowledge he could turn back any time he liked made the whole thing much less terrible. And the knowledge of what Tony Stark, man, did not have. It wasn't like he'd trade his dick to date Steve. But if he could get it back any time?
A while?
Can't keep secrets forever. There was a pause.
Okay, that's your disbelieving silence.
Why are you disbelieving my totally accurate statement?
Because you never believe there's stuff you can't do, said Rhodey promptly.
Hell, you think you can keep Pepper in the dark about...
Oh, shut up. Look, I...
He paused and pushed his face harder against the desk, smushing his nose sideways.
What? Said Rhodey, softer.
Good old Rhodey.
What would Tony do without him?
If Rhodey had ever been into guys, Tony would have snapped him up and settled down and just nursed a tiny wistful crush on Captain America. And this whole mess wouldn't have happened. It was totally Rhodey's fault. And Tony was going to tell him that.
Steve's not going to stay interested in me forever, he mumbled instead. I figure... when he starts to lose interest, I'll cut him loose and turn back into a guy.
Yeah, Captain America, known for his fickle ways, Rhodey said acerbically, and put his big warm hand on the nape of Tony's neck. He slept with more women this year than I ever have. Rhodey tutted.
Yeah, but you sleeping with a lot of people doesn't mean you're not into him, does it?
I'm just saying, seems like the man knows what he wants. Even if he does lose interest, I doubt it'll be fast.
I'll screw it up, he said, and Rhodey kicked his chair.
You'll do something dumb, sure, and then you'll fight, and then you'll convince yourself everything is ruined forever, and turn back. And then when Cap goes looking for his girlfriend to make up?
Rhodey paused.
I don't even know, man.
Well, you want me to turn back into a guy now? How's that going to be better?
The hand at his neck squeezed gently. I think maybe you owe him the truth, said Rhodey. And Tony whimpered.
I'm sorry, Tony, but the poor guy's crazy about you. Steve proved perfectly willing to skip dinner and just be dragged to bed. Tony had every intention of making the absolute most of what might be the last time. He even tied Steve's wrists to the bedpost and took shameless advantage, which had such a shattering effect on him, Tony wished he'd tried it weeks ago. He shoved aside the little voice that told him he could have it for weeks now, if he just kept quiet. "Steve?" said Tony afterwards against Steve's shoulder. Steve nuzzled deeper into his hair and tightened his grip. "We need to talk." "Okay." "Like, seriously." Tony pulled away and sat up. Steve cast an appreciative eye over him, and Tony pulled the sheets up primly. Steve sighed and shut his eyes. He didn't seem in any condition to have a serious conversation, which was probably for the best. "I know. Look, I'm really sorry. I am. I just want to be clear that I never meant to hurt you." Steve's eyes snapped open. "You... are you breaking up with me?" He sat bolt upright, grabbing for Tony's hands, eyes wide. "No, no. I don't want to, but... you don't... this isn't what you... I'm sorry. I never meant..." Steve relaxed a little, but there was still a worried frown on his face. Tony took a deep breath and tried to assemble a coherent sentence. He should have written this down or something. "This is going to come as a nasty shock, and I don't know how to break it gently." "Are you pregnant?" said Steve, and Tony's mouth dropped open. "God, no!" Steve looked disappointed. "Jesus. I'm really a man." Steve's mouth twisted, like he couldn't decide on an expression. Are you serious?" "I mean, obviously not now, but really." Steve frowned and rubbed at his head. There was a long pause. Steve got up and fetched himself a glass of water and drank it. Then he sat down in the chair. Then he got up and sat on the end of the bed at Tony's feet. This is a bit of a shock." Yeah," said Tony tensely. Any minute now, he was going to realize just who Tony Stark the man had to be. And then... "You can't..." He stopped. "But..." He got up and circled the room, and then came back to stand by the bed. "You're sure? I mean, you've seen people about it?" "Yeah. Reed's going to fix it," said Tony, suppressing the urge to clench his fists. "Are you sure? What a stupid question!" "Reed?" Steve's face showed confusion. "Are you sure? Is he really the best? I mean, I'm sure you..." He shuffled his feet and gestured awkwardly. "Yeah, I'm sure," said Tony tightly. "Oh, well, he frowned. "Seriously, Reed? Is he even a medical doctor? Surely you should see a real doctor and a counselor and things." "A counselor?" said Tony. That was a good reaction, if he was worried.
You seem to like... I just think you should talk to actual medical professionals before that kind of..." He waves his hand. "Thing." He looked at Tony, and Tony looked back,
trying to translate those remarks into something comprehensible.
It took a few moments.
Steve, I don't mean I'm transsexual. Tony pinched the bridge of his nose and gritted his teeth. All right, he should have thought of that. It was more logical than a freaky girling ray. Reed's a physicist, not a... Steve began, and Tony lunged forward and clasped a hand over his mouth. I'm Anthony Edward Stark, sponsor of the superhero team. I got turned into a woman by Doom's weird pink ray. Do you understand? Steve nodded, eyes wide, and Tony took his hand away.
Tony Stark is Iron Man, said Steve triumphantly. I knew it! Steve, focus! Tony said in what wasn't quite a yell.
Steve raised a finger and opened his mouth, and then shut it again. Then he frowned. His frown deepened. But why did Doom turn you into a woman?
Because he wanted to marry me, I told you.
He... what?
Apparently he figured I'd be the perfect wife if only I had, you know, girl parts.
That's insane!
Tony nodded.
Steve shook his head.
Okay, so all this time... So wait, are you going to change back?
Tony swallowed.
Steve, I have to. I'm not a woman. This body isn't me.
Steve turned and took a few steps away, folded his arms around himself.
Jesus, Tony.
I'm sorry, he said in a tiny voice, watching Steve's magnificent shoulders rise and sink on a shuddering breath, trying to memorize the sleek muscles, the dip of his spine, the curves of his thighs and ass.
So this was all what? A holiday romance?
He didn't sound angry. He sounded hurt, and that was much, much worse.
No, I didn't mean it. You asked me out. And then, I didn't mean to. I'd wanted you for so long.
You did?
Steve glanced back over his shoulder, and Tony could only meet his eyes for a second before looking down at his fingers twisting the bedsheets.
Yeah, he admitted in a small voice. Pretty much since I met you.
Steve had been so alone, stuck in the center of a base bristling with security, surrounded by odd guards, and Tony had wanted to make it okay for him, give a new place to belong. And all right, plenty of people wanted to give that to Captain America, but Tony had known he could do the best job of it. And he'd made a typical Tony Stark mess of it.
I thought we were friends.
Steve sounded lost. Iron Man. Tony.
But all this time... No, Steve, I swear. I thought you were straight, and I never expected a chance with you. And I didn't care. Just being your friend.
Why didn't you tell me? Said Steve.
Why didn't you just tell me you'd been changed?
I couldn't risk my Iron Man identity.
Because you don't trust me.
No, I...
No one knows except Rhodey, not even Pepper.
It's not that I don't trust you, and I've told you now.
You pretty much had to, said Steve bitterly, turning back to him. And Tony shook his head.
I didn't! I could have just vanished and come back as Tony Stark, and I told you I'd hired a new bodyguard and that the woman you met wasn't any relative.
You actually considered that? Said Steve, face flushing.
You would have... No! I couldn't...
I didn't want to lie to you anymore. Steve shook his head and began collecting up his clothes.
I think you've told more than enough lies, he said softly.
Steve, I'm sorry.
Steve? Please?
I can't.
Steve darted to the door and closed it behind him. Tony listened to the rustle of his clothes as he dressed, to his boots on the carpet as he walked down the hall, to the sound of the door of his apartment opening and closing. Then he curled up in a ball and put a pillow over his head. It was his own stupid fault, anyway. Pepper was delighted when he told her he was changing back. They settled on a week to avoid rescheduling any more meetings. There was no point in raising more suspicion than they had to. Neither she nor Rhodey asked about what happened with Steve, but the fact that he stopped coming around had to be a pretty clear signal. He didn't go out to the mansion at all. Storm called him daily with reports of their training and inquired courteously after Iron Man, and he fobbed her off. Simple enough. He was probably still in danger of kidnapping by Doom, so keeping Iron Man around made sense. He spent a lot of time in the workshop and had a sleeker, shinier, more powerful suit of armor all ready to step into when he changed back. Doom himself remained silent. His plane stayed on the front lawn of the mansion. Tony had sent a note to the Latverian embassy, and they had responded with an invitation to a cocktail party, to which he RSVP'd in the negative. He was reckless, but he wasn't stupid. Every morning, he opened an email and tried to think of something he could tell Steve that would fix it. Trouble was, there didn't seem to be anything. Maybe he should have gone to that cocktail party. At least a rescue would have been something to talk about. On the last day before his appointment to change back, he finally sent an email, apologizing, saying he never intended to hurt Steve, apologizing again, offering to leave the team to find someone else to wear the Iron Man suit. The thought made his fists clench, but if it would make things better... And then apologizing again. He read it over, wincing at the triteness, and then shrugged and sent it. It was the truth, at least. Then he put everything in order, like he was preparing for a vacation or something. He cleared away everything, even emptied his drawers of his half-finished designs. He looked at the clear desk, the empty inbox, and thought about going down to the workshop to tidy up there. Hey, said a voice from the door, and Tony looked up. Steve was there, looking awkward. You're still... Yeah. Tony's mouth was suddenly desert dry. Got an appointment with Reed tomorrow morning to be blasted with sex change rays. Steve didn't look angry, just a little unhappy. He closed the door carefully behind him and approached to the other side of the desk, where he stared down at the smooth, glossy surface. I got your email, he said. I need to apologize. And Tony's mouth dropped open. I wasn't kind to you. Not at all. Steve! Tony swallowed around the lump in his throat. Steve, after the way I behaved... He broke off and put his head in his hands. Steve came around the desk and leaned against it next to him. Tony didn't look up. I was hurt. Steve shuffled his feet. I still am. But you know, I didn't have to be so mean to you. That was possibly even worse than Steve yelling at him. He'd been such an asshole to the best person he knew. I'm sorry, he said again. I really am so sorry I hurt you. You That... why did you do it?
I didn't mean to, he said softly.
That's not good enough. You did it.
Steve's voice was firm. Tony supposed he had a right to whatever explanation he wanted.
I didn't... it wasn't a plan or anything. I should have said no right at the start. I didn't think it would go so far. But it just kept going. And I tried not to think about how it would end. I thought I'd find a way to fix it.
Fix it?
Get out of it without hurting you or making you hate me. But there wasn't anything. I'm really sorry. I can't say that enough.
There was a pause. Tony bit down on his lip to stop himself from apologizing again. After a while, Steve sighed.
I don't hate you. I love you, Tony.
And Steve's hand touched his shoulder, brushed gently over his hair, and Tony's gut twisted with hope that somehow he'd be able to salvage something of their friendship from this mess.
I thought I'd found the woman I was going to marry. I can't...
You wanted to marry me? Said Tony, squinting up through the curtain of his hair. Steve was looking down at him, frowning.
Of course I do. I'd just been waiting to ask you because I thought it might seem weird if I asked you right away. I asked Pepper, and she said definitely not yet. I don't understand modern women. They sleep with you right away, but you have to wait months to propose to them?
Tone shading into irascible, like he got when talking about vending machines or MTV. And Tony gave him something like a smile. Steve smiled back, small and crooked, but a smile, and dug in his pocket.
I bought you a ring.
It was ridiculously in a creased and battered little envelope. Steve shook it out onto his palm and showed it to him. Smooth and gleaming silver, with a little diamond set in. Tony put his hand over his mouth. There didn't seem to be any words adequate to the situation. Sometimes Steve was just plain weird.
Have you been carrying it around with you?
I was hoping the opportunity might come up, he admitted. I want. He took Tony's hand in his.
I don't.
He trailed off as Steve slipped the ring onto his finger, where it was a perfect fit. When he ran his thumb over the diamond, there were no rough edges that might catch or slip. And when he looked closer, he could see the metal wasn't silver at all.
Tungsten carbide?
The jeweler said you wouldn't be able to scratch it, whatever you did. I thought it would be practical, with you doing so much in the workshop. Tony looked up at Steve, who was giving him puppy eyes, like he still wanted Tony.
You know I'm changing back.
I know.
Steve, I lied to you. I fooled you into sleeping with me.
You didn't. He said it like he believed it. I slept with you because I thought you were smart and amazing and gorgeous. And that was true. He crouched down and turned Tony's chair towards him.
Tony, I love you. I do. That's not changing just because you...
well, I was mad, but I haven't stopped loving you.
Steve,
He took the ring off and put it in Steve's palm and closed his fingers over it.
Oh.
Steve bit his lip.
So you won't want me when you change back?
Steve, yes, he said. And Steve brightened.
I love you.
Then he offered the ring again, and Tony shook his head.
Are you just... Steve, you can't just forgive me, Tony said. I don't deserve it.
Probably not, but I think I do. I think I totally deserve the person I love, who loves me, even if they are kind of an idiot. And if their being an idiot brought us together, then they should use their famed genius to figure out that they got lucky this time, and never be such an idiot again.
He put an arm around Tony and tugged. Tony leaned into him, his warmth and strength.
I can't stop you beating yourself up, but I don't see why I should be punished. You can make up for it by never lying to me again. How's that?
Right, said Tony. And Steve, persistent man that he was, tried to give him the ring again.
No, it's not even legal, and I'm not wearing an engagement ring, and it won't fit when I turn back.
Steve pouted. It was sweet.
Tony leaned in to kiss him, slow and warm, and Steve sighed.
How does it work then, if I can't marry you? He said with a trace of irritation, and Tony gave a rusty laugh.
We just stay together. Live together, maybe. Get a dog and some tropical fish.
Oh, well.
Steve looked away and then looked back and smiled. I suppose I should give up hope of my life being normal, huh?
It is normal, said Tony. It's a totally normal way to live.
Yeah, well. As long as it's with you, I like it.
Sue was far friendlier when he appeared with Steve's arm around his waist. She also flirted with Steve in a way that made Tony's eyes narrow. Reed smiled at them benevolently, apparently completely unworried. Lucky bastard. Tony tried to imagine being so sure of being loved that you didn't even care when your loved one flirted with a gorgeous, superpowered war hero. It was incomprehensible. Sue eventually departed, and Tony rubbed his hands together.
Okay. It was time. He looked at Steve. You ready, Reed?
Yes.
He looked at Steve, too, and scrunched up his face, like Steve was a particularly devilish equation.
Come on, Reed. There was no sign of worry on Steve's face. He kissed Tony lightly on the lips and gave him a push towards the empty center of the room. He waited an interminable time, while Reed hummed out of tune and calibrated and focused. And then, with no warning, a pink ray struck him in the chest. He hit the floor, gasping, and in a second, there was a big, warm hand under his neck, lifting his head.
Ow, he said, and Steve made a comforting noise and lifted him into a sitting position.
Hey, my head feels lighter.
Your hair's short. Steve's thumb rubbed down the back of Tony's neck, warm and reassuring.
How do you feel apart from that?
Good. He put a hand down between his legs.
My dick, he said gleefully. Oh, how I've missed you.
There was the clinking and humming of various machines as Reed checked him over. Tony was too busy patting his biceps, his goatee, the flat planes of his chest. He held up his hands and grinned at them, cracked down to the still healing scratch at the base of his thumb. Steve's hand was still warm at the back of his neck. He looked up, and Steve looked back at him seriously.
All good, he said, and Tony nodded.
This is it, he gestured down at his body.
You, okay?
Steve cupped his jaw and touched his thumb to the corner of Tony's mouth, soothing the short hairs there. He urged Tony's chin up, blonde brows drawing together, his familiar determined expression, usually seen when facing down bad guys, and Tony parted his lips, feeling the flip of nervousness in his belly.
"This is you," Reed announced,
and Steve let go and stood up, offering a hand down to Tony, who suppressed a curse and scrambled up. They walked back to the tower, Tony almost bouncing, and enjoying being able to bounce without bouncing in any uncomfortable places. "We'll go in the back," he said. "No one knows I'm back from Shanghai yet. We don't want to blow whatever story Pepper's cooking up." See, he was a considerate man. "Sure, we should... do you have any meetings today?" "Not really. I'm supposed to just be getting back today, so there'll be emails and calls and supposedly catching up with what happened in my absence." Tony put his palm on the sensors for the rear entrance, and Steve crowded him, following right on his heels, the closeness of him making Tony's heart skip. Jesus, this had better work. If Steve walked out on him again? He swallowed the fear as he stepped into the elevator, and Steve stepped up and slipped an arm around his waist and rested his chin on Tony's shoulder. "You smell a bit different," Steve noted. Leaning back into Steve's arms wasn't quite familiar. He was that bit taller now, but the way Steve nuzzled his neck was. He was considering trying for a kiss when the elevator dinged. Maybe later. Definitely later. Pepper stared as they walked through the door, then stared at Steve's hand still on his waist, and then broke into a wide, happy smile. Rhodey, sitting on Pepper's desk, shook his head. "I really don't want to know how you get away with these things." Tony gave him a dizzy grin. "My astonishing personal charm," he said, and jumped when Steve pinched him firmly in the ribs. "Oh, and I surround myself with wonderful, tolerant people with the patience of saints." "His real talent isn't engineering," he heard Rhodey confide to Pepper as he dragged Steve into privacy. "It's finding people who put up with his..." The door shut beside them, and Tony turned to Steve. "So," he said. "Yeah." Steve curled his hand around Tony's neck and tugged him into an embrace, tucked Tony's head down into the place between neck and shoulder. It was almost the same, except Steve's breath caught when his beard scraped. Tony kept his eyes shut while Steve breathed against his neck, then nuzzled his jaw, lips dragging softly against the faint stubble he had. And maybe Tony should have found the time to shave nice and close, but Steve didn't hesitate, mouthing over the edge of his beard, and Tony let his head roll enough for Steve to reach his mouth. Barely there, just the lightest graze of his parted lips. Tony stayed very still. If he spooked Steve? He laid one hand on Steve's shoulder. After a moment, Steve's tongue dabbed at his lips, and Tony's grip tightened, and Steve put his hand on Tony's waist and pulled him closer. Then he pulled away. "Ugh." Tony's heart plummeted. He turned his head back to Steve's neck. "I can't do this, or maybe I need some time." "This would be easier if, you know, you kissed me back." "I was," he said, looking up, and Steve frowned at him. "Well, not like you used to," he said. "I don't mind the beard, but it's weird not to have you all..." He waved a hand vaguely. "Sorry," snapped Tony, too curt, and Steve drew back a little. Tony looked away, And after a moment, Steve kissed his neck. Slow, passionate. The swirl and slide of his tongue as intent as if he were kissing Tony's mouth. And Tony could feel his breathing growing ragged as Steve's mouth moved down his neck, over his collarbone. "Sorry," Tony murmured. "I don't want to ruin it all." "You won't. I'm not going to run away." He lifted his head and covered Tony's mouth, and Tony grabbed a handful of blonde hair and kissed him hard, spread his other hand over the taut muscles of Steve's flank. "Yeah," Steve said, then broke the kiss. "Tony, yes." The intercom sounded. Tony swore and considered ignoring it, but if Pepper thought it was important enough to interrupt, she'd come through the door next. He stalked to the desk and hit the button.
"Tony, Doom's at the mansion,"
she began, and he swore again.
"I'll get Iron Man on it." And he bolted to the elevator, Steve at his heels.
They flew high over the clouds, and when they were over the mansion, they drifted slowly downwards through the cool, fine mist.
"There," said Steve quietly. Doom was standing in front of his plane,
and they could just make out Spider-Man flat on the grass. Doom's metal boot was resting on his neck.
"Iron Man, Captain," and Storm swirled out of the cloud. "We think he took up position in the plane during the night, when Spider-Man and Giant Girl went out to study it."
"Play with it, you mean," said Tony,
and Storm shrugged. "Doom used some kind of gas. Giant Girl was able to alter her size sufficiently that the gas did not affect her, but Spider-Man was rendered unconscious."
"What does he want?" said Steve. And Tony was not surprised when Storm looked at him apologetically.
"He wants Iron Man to accompany him to Latveria. He intends to take Spider-Man as a hostage to prevent us from attempting a rescue."
"Well, that's easy to resolve."
"What if he wants you anyway?" said Steve. Tony gave him a reassuring squeeze.
"No. Apparently a man isn't befitting his dignity or something."
"I don't see why.
I don't follow."
"I'll explain later, Storm. Steve, it'll be fine."
Steve gave a put-upon sigh, but didn't protest as they broke the cloud layer and circled down at a leisurely pace.
"Hulk will smash,"
Hulk said, and Jan wrapped her big hand around him.
"Don't," she said. "He'll hurt him."
"And then I'll stab him," Wolverine gestured with his claws. Doom regarded him with disdain.
"I grow tired of playing games."
Doom glared around him.
"Unless Iron Man."
"Present," said Tony, and did one more lazy circle just to annoy Doom, before he dropped to the grass and set Steve down. He eyed Spider-Man, who was sprawled on his back, making gulping noises.
"Now, how did that happen?"
"Sorry," said Spider-Man in a groggy voice. "I... ugh!"
"It is immaterial."
Doom eased up on the pressure, and Spider-Man took a whooping breath.
"I want..."
"No problem," said Tony cheerfully. "I'll give myself up."
Steve twitched beside him, and then subsided. He was obviously dying to have a possessive brawl with Doom, but that would just be too damaging to Tony's dignity, however much it might gratify him to have Captain America fighting the ruler of a small country for his affections.
"You will?"
Doom sounded surprised.
"That's what you want, right? I'll come quietly."
And Tony took several steps towards him.
"Halt!" Doom snapped. "Remove your armor first.
No tricks or I crush his throat.
Oh, sure.
Tony put his hands up and took off his helmet. You need me to continue? Doom's blank faceplate stared at him. What is this? He said finally, voice a growl. You want the full Monty? I'm just being considerate of the ladies here, of which I am not one. I am willing to show you my dick if it will avoid conflict. He put his hands on the catches at the hips. Is this really necessary? Said Spider-Man plaintively from under Doom's foot.
It will not be necessary.
There was a long pause. My compliments, Stark. Your resourcefulness, as ever, inspires my admiration. Yeah, well, rein it in, Tony said. He considered, briefly, putting the credit on Reed where it belonged. But no, Doom's respect was quite gratifying when Doom wasn't trying to marry him. Let the spider go, and we'll let you leave without trouble. Just get the damn plane off my lawn.
Hulk would like to smash,
said Hulk, and Giant Girl petted him consolingly. Part of being a superhero is learning not to smash. Doom paced up the ramp to his plane. Storm floated above, watching him closely, lightning crawling over her hands in a distinctly menacing fashion. Doom turned and stared up at her, apparently unworried. His armor was probably a Faraday cage anyway. Your name is Storm, he said thoughtfully, eyeing her. You are the architect of the weather. Do you have any interest in science? None at all, she said firmly, and Doom sighed. Pity. And he turned away. Unsurprisingly, when the plane left their sight, all eyes turned to Tony. So, complicated story, he said, and Jan put her arms around his neck and gave him a smacking kiss on the cheek. Oh, hello. Hi, Tony, she said and kissed him again. It's been years, hasn't it? So have you been Iron Man all along? Why were you pretending to be in Shanghai? Why did Doom lose interest? Wolverine asked, and Tony grimaced. Well, it's complicated, he said again. Explain then. Spider-Man's voice still wheezed a little, but he was back on his feet. Well? He cast a glance at Steve, who grinned back at him. No help to be found there. Doom turned me into a woman because he wanted me to be his queen. There was a brief silence. So you were Morgan? Spider-Man shook his head. I knew there was something weird about that. So you're Cap's girlfriend? Jan said. Boyfriend now, obviously. Steve didn't hesitate. But yes. That's cute, said Jan. Logan snorted. Too bad, though. I liked Morgan. The team needs more girls. Find us some to recruit, then, said Tony. I'll sign the checks. Tony settled them on the balcony and opened the doors. Rhodey was sitting at his desk, feet up, talking on the phone. He raised his eyebrows at Tony and then hung up. Hey, Iron Man, he said, and his eyebrows rose even higher when Tony opened the faceplate. He looked at Steve, who still had his arm wrapped possessively around Tony's shoulders, and then back at Tony. Well, good for you, I guess. I was starting to wonder how you were keeping all your stories straight. Glad you're here, Rhodey. Tony was feeling lucky. He was going to need it. I may need you to help defend me. What's up? said Rhodey, and Tony touched the intercom. Miss Potts, do you have a moment?
Rhodey's eyes went wide with alarm.
Pepper stopped dead at the sight of him in the armor.
Tony,
she said from between gritted teeth, and he could see her adding it all up. She shut her eyes, opened them again, then threw her clipboard at him and marched out.
I thought that went well. Rhodey, did you think it went well?
Rhodey, go after her and stop her from resigning. Take her out to lunch. A long lunch. For 5 martinis. Rhodey rolled his eyes and trailed after her.
Okay, she's mad, he confided to Steve, who tapped the armor, apparently uninterested in Pepper's mood.
Why don't you take this off, and we'll go talk in your apartment?
When you say talk,
I don't mean talk.
And the smile on his face was entirely promising. He didn't want to let Steve out of his sight. Silly, but Tony had the creeping feeling that if he gave him time to think, it would all be over. So he ended up standing next to his bed with Steve, sat on the edge, unlocking the catches and clasps that held the armor together. None of the impatience he'd shown when he'd been peeling it away from the woman's body. Just the careful removal of each section and adding it to the pile on the floor. Tony stepped out of the boots last, and Steve picked them up and set them aside. Then he just laid his hand over Tony's hips, thumbs on the point of his hip bones, where they jutted between briefs and his undershirt, and just looked him up and down. Hi, Tony said when their eyes met, and Steve grinned at him, which was probably a good sign. He cupped Steve's cheek with his hand, and Steve leaned into the touch. Steve slid his hand up Tony's flanks, pushing his undershirt higher, and then leaned forward to press his mouth to Tony's skin. Hey, he murmured. You know how earlier I was saying it felt weird for you to just be standing there? Fine, yes. Tony grabbed a handful of scale mail. Get this off, then. Steve dragged the mail over his head, and Tony took a breath and went for Steve's belt buckle. To his great relief, Steve was already hard, and when Tony got him in hand, Steve moaned and pushed up into his grip. Come here, he said breathlessly, and grabbed for Tony's head. His hand slipped through Tony's short hair, but he got a grip on Tony's shoulder and pulled him down and rolled him over onto his back. Naked, Tony reminded him, and Steve kicked out of the boots and then his pants, and then he just sort of leaned over Tony, staring down at him. Okay, Tony said after a moment, and Steve nodded. He touched the skin just below the arc reactor and smiled when Tony's breath hitched. You. He spread his palm over the plane of Tony's pectorals, and then rubbed his thumb over Tony's nipple. Is that... Fine, Tony assured him, and Steve pinched gently, and Tony bit his lip. It wasn't quite as sensitive in this body, but it was still good, and when Steve lowered his mouth to the other nipple, Tony moaned out loud. Steve shifted, leaned up to kiss him, and Tony wrapped his arms around Steve's neck and kissed him back, ardent. He scratched his shorter, blunter nails down Steve's back, and Steve wriggled and panted in just the same way. Steve's hand stroked slowly down over his ribs and lingered a moment in the hollow of his hip, and then he took a deeper breath and wrapped his hand firmly around Tony's cock. Steve, said Tony, and tried to get even closer, pushing up shamelessly into Steve's grip. And then he twisted his hips and pushed his thighs up between Steve's legs. Steve grunted and rubbed against him, and they kissed messily for a few awkward seconds as he tried to find a rhythm. Steve broke the kiss and pulled away, and Tony growled and tried to drag him back down, but he resisted. "Do you want, to..." Steve let go of Tony's dick to make a vague gesture, which in Tony's view was really poor prioritizing, and then blushed deeper. "Damn it, I'm an adult. Do you want to fuck me?" "Yeah." Like that needed deep thought. The mere thought of being inside Steve made his dick ache, and he was pretty sure if he tried it now, he wouldn't even last long enough to get in. But the thought of Steve tight and slick around his fingers. "I really, really do. But not right now, okay? I don't have the patience. Look, come here. Like this." Steve looked faintly relieved as he settled into Tony's arms between his spread legs. "Yeah, just rub against me." The rough, jerky movements of their bodies together. Tony should have gotten some lubricant, but Steve was panting and heavy-eyed, and that was what mattered. "This is enough?" Steve searched his face, traces of worry in his voice, and Tony wrapped an arm around his neck and brought their lips together for a slow kiss. "This is great," he murmured when their lips parted. "You like this?" "It's good." Another lingering kiss. "I like feeling you." He pushed his hips harder, and Tony moaned and tightened his grip. Steve kept looking at him, warm and intense, only affection in his blue eyes. "This is great," Tony said again. "This is fantastic. We never have to do anything but this if you don't want to." "Well, I..." Steve dropped his head to nuzzle into Tony's neck, nibble the lobe of his ear. "I might want to," he murmured against Tony's ear. "But there's no rush." "None at all," Tony agreed. And teaching Steve new things was going to be fantastic. Tony could hardly wait. But right now, it didn't seem like anything could be better than this. Steve over him, Steve's dick against his, Steve's mouth on his neck. He came with a loud groan, and Steve made a soft noise and ground down harder, took his mouth and kissed him deep. Tony squirmed a hand between them, got a good grip on Steve's cock, and Steve arched and threw back his head and thrust into Tony's grip. "You like that?" Tony muttered and tightened his grip. And Steve made a raw sound. "That's right. Come on. Come on." Steve shivered all over, bit down on his lip. And then Tony's hand was covered in warm slick, and Steve was settling down against him, breathing slowing. Steve flopped onto his side, and for a moment there was only the sound of their breathing. Then he got up, and Tony had a rush of panic before realizing he was heading to the bathroom. He came back with a washcloth and wiped Tony down. He was smiling. That was good. That was great. Steve touched carefully over the lines of Tony's body, tracing muscles, rubbing gently through hair. He palmed Tony's dick and looked up with a smile. "Okay?" Tony ran his fingers up Steve's arm, and Steve nodded. "Fine," he said, and his fingers walked back up over Tony's belly, rubbing against the growth of hair and making Tony squirm. "I told you it would be." "Well, pardon me for thinking this couldn't possibly end well." Steve chuckled. "You're such a pessimist," he said,
Is that a thing with you?
Of course not, Tony lied, and Steve quirked an eyebrow. Tony sought for a change of topic.
So what'd you do with the ring?
Maybe that wasn't the best choice, but Steve didn't look annoyed.
Oh, I took it back, Steve said, and he seemed to have quite gotten over his pout about it.
I only got store credit, but I expect Storm and Jan will like jewelry at Christmas.
For quite a few years.
Sorry. Steve's smile widened.
Oh, don't worry. You're going to make it up to me.
I am?
Oh, yes. He leaned over for a kiss.
You owe me big time, mister.
I'm sure we can work something out, Tony said, and Steve returned to tracing his fingers over Tony's ribs with intense concentration.
Tony watched him through half-shut eyes and wondered how long it would take for Steve to get tired of him. It wasn't like either of them had a track record of successful relationships.
Stop worrying.
Steve gave him a stern look.
Everything's going to be fine.
Really?
Steve nodded.
I promise, he said. And really, it was hard to disbelieve him. And Tony didn't want to disbelieve him anyway. A promise from Captain America was surely something to put his faith in.
Everything's going to be fine, he murmured, trying the idea on for size.
And Steve smiled at him, like he'd said something clever and insightful.
Maybe he had. Everything was going to be fine.
The end.
Like a woman.
Reader's notes. Oh my god, this has been such a huge project. I remember reading this fic in the car on a family road trip down to Virginia for a cousin's wedding, and I was killing myself laughing at the fic, and I wanted to podfic it right then, but I was in a car with my family on the way to a wedding. And it's actually been quite a long time since I first read it, like over a year or two. And it's such a long fic. I don't really record things this long usually. But this past year, like especially last summer, I had like a really good stride on and I was getting lots of podfic done. So it kind of opened me up to some bigger projects. And then I signed up for Marvel Big Bang, and I also decided to try doing 3-day novel podfic again this year. And why I thought I could even like attempt to make a dent in this in 3 days is beyond me, because it took me 3 days just to record it, and I only got like 3 hours edited over that weekend. And now it's like right up to the deadline for Marvel Big Bang. And I'm recording, like, on a Monday, and it's, like, I recorded the last, like, 15K on a Monday, and it's supposed to be posting Saturday, so we'll see if I make that deadline. And the lovely Rose Creighton also recorded this for 3-day novel podfic weekend. She finished sooner than me and has been sitting on it so that we could post it together. And I'm really excited to hear her version and see how it's different from mine. But I'm also just really excited to have this project done, hopefully in a few days. If my cat didn't kill my MacBook, because I woke up this morning with my MacBook sitting in a puddle because she decided to knock over my glass of water.
So I'm just not thinking about that right now, and I'm recording the last bits of it to avoid thinking about that. So anyways, this has been a crazy project. It's the longest solo podfic I've ever done, but it's been a lot of fun, and I hope you like it. If you'd like to read this fic online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/89825. And I'd like to thank Valtier for having blanket permission to podfic. It made it so much easier to get this project done. And the mods of Marvel Big Bang for putting on the challenge so that I got this done. And the people that joined me in 3-day novel podfic and getting a big chunk of the start done and making me feel like I could actually make it for the Marvel Big Bang deadline. And yeah, if you'd like to listen to or download this podfic, it can be found at PataCutProductions.com. Thanks for listening.